What is up, Level Up Nation, and welcome to the November 30th edition of OTN's Level Up Live, your home for the hottest takes in gaming news. My name is Fiasco. I am joined, as always, by the King of the Courtside, the Courtside King, and his name is Joey. What's up, buddy?
Doing all right, John. I feel like the coughing king right now. Still dealing with a bit of a lingering cough from a couple weeks ago. Working our way through it. Not COVID, but some kind of annoying cough, and it seems to be going around in my office and other places, and I have been a victim. Hopefully you guys will not be too much of a victim on tonight's show with audio coughing, but we will do what we can. We'll pause when we need to, and we have quite a bit to cover tonight, John.
That's why I have a mute button, right, Joey?
That is true. The only problem is then we either have to go back and edit the audio track for podcast people or what, because my mixer does not have a mute button, unfortunately, which is super sad.
Well, I think if our viewers here live on Twitch have to deal with your coughing, our good friends on the podcast can listen to your coughing as well. I think it's the full immersive experience is what it should be. Nation, speaking about immersive, make sure you follow the show on social media. That is Twitter/X and Facebook at OTN Media. And if you are on Instagram and you are on Threads, soon to be our good friends in Europe on Threads as well, you can follow us at OTN_media. We are there as well. And if you're on Twitter/X/Instagram/Threads, you can follow Joey and myself at Courtside King and at Fiasco. And Nation, as always, the live show is the place to be. If you're here with us live on Twitch, congratulations. You have found the hottest place to be on a Thursday night. What else do you want to do? Watch Thursday night football? Absolutely not. It's two horrible teams anyways, the Cowboys and the Sea Chickens. So you are here with us. Best place to see it, but don't worry. We have the podcast version available for you about roughly 24 hours after the live stream. Check out the Level Up podcast available on your podcatcher of choice. Extra credit. Use that Amazon Prime sub on OTN Media's Twitch page. Earn Joey's eternal love and affection. And you can do that by using that Twitch Prime on OTN. All right, Joey. Topics, if you can, with under 3.5 coughs, if you can. What are we talking about tonight?
Yeah, absolutely, guys. We're touching just about every platform but Nintendo. Unfortunately, no big Nintendo news. Some of this third-party stuff will hit them as well, though. There's one cough. We're already in. We have Sony announcing their PS Plus games for December. Xbox Game Pass, a number of games coming early December as well to touch on. Fallout TV series, we got our first screenshots. We have a new strategic partnership on the side of Sony. WoW Classic Season of Discovery has kicked off today. Prime Gaming has also announced their free titles for December. We have ReadPop looking to sell off a number of their magazines and much, much more, John. It is quite a bit of news today. We'll fly through some of these topics. Other ones we definitely will spend quite a bit of time on as we rant about them. But overall, should be in for a pretty good show.
One cough, Joey. I was very impressed with it. Joey, that means it is time for our drink of choice, something that is going to soothe that coffee throat of yours, sir. What are you having for tonight's episode?
Well, sir, I just took some DayQuil before we started, and I'm hoping to follow that up. This is some Throat Coat tea. I think it's like licorice-based.
Joey, I am bringing something onto the show. I think it's the first time we've ever had this on the show. 324 episodes, or is it 25? I don't remember. It's a lot of episodes later. It is a Chick-fil-A milkshake, Joey.
Ooh, okay.
It is the peppermint shake, because it is the season for a peppermint shake. So that is my beverage of choice. So you had your DayQuil and licorice tea, if you will, and I'm rocking a Chick-fil-A milkshake, quite possibly the worst thing to have for congestion and a cough. But nonetheless, Joey, we have our beverages. We have our topics. So I don't really want to waste any more time. We have a ton of things to talk about today. So we're going to get into our first segment. But before we do that, today's episode of Level Up Live is presented by GamerBytes, bite-sized gaming news delivered weekly directly to your inbox. Sign up today at otnmedia.org/GB signup. Check out the link in chat if you're here with us on Twitch. There'll be in the show notes for you below if you're with the podcast. Joey, let's head over to PlayStation.
Absolutely. Not a ton of PlayStation in the news this week, but we do have a nice strategic partnership being signed here. NCSoft of Korea and Sony have announced a new strategic partnership. I think this is going to be a good one for both parties. Sony, a Japanese-based country who has definitely made much of a way throughout Europe, as well as in the United States with a headquarters now over here in California as well. NCSoft is in Korea. South Korea is one area we've seen Sony continue to move into, and they've definitely done some good sales there, but there is still plenty of room for growth as well. The other thing Sony's been looking at, and we've talked about it a lot on the show, is live service games. Who does live service games extremely well and in one of those markets Sony wants to expand in? That's NCSoft. NCSoft, mostly known for MMOs. Lineage is one of the ones a lot of people know. Guild Wars, Blade and Soul. Aeon is another one that's pretty popular over in Asia. So there are someone who's been around, someone who's done live service quite well. And again, someone in a market that Sony is looking to continue to push some more weight into to grab some more market share before Xbox continues to expand over there as well alongside Nintendo. So I like this deal overall. We've seen, again, some shaky stuff in the news with Sony and those live service games that they have in development. I think bringing on more and more partners who have done a good job in live service is a great move for Sony if they want to continue in that direction.
Yeah, and you're really going after one of the big game players, pardon me, if you will, in South Korea. So I think it's a very, very solid acquisition, or I should say announcement of a strategic partnership with Sony. Already good vibes, if you will, between both companies. So I think it's a really good match there going forward for both companies. And again, I think you mentioned it, Joey. So Microsoft and Xbox have been making a push into the Asian markets quite heavily. So this will definitely help Sony kind of fend off a little bit. I still think Xbox is going to make some pretty big waves this console generation, in comparison to last generation and generations prior into the Asian market. But this definitely helps out, helps solidify Sony's strong grasp in that region.
And we've also seen some shaky stuff, not necessarily from Xbox directly, but Activision Blizzard. We had that, I think it was earlier this year, maybe January, where NetEase was going back and forth as far as publishing rights go in China. That was a lot about World of Warcraft and Overwatch at the time. So while this is not directly China, that Asian region in general has shown some shakiness in certain things that both Microsoft and Nintendo have their hands in. So Sony moving in, finding a solid partner here in South Korea and NCSoft, I think does allow for a little bit more of that flexibility. Again, as you said, we're going to see market share continue to develop for both Microsoft and Nintendo, but it also allows Sony kind of a little bit more edge in that live service area where, again, they continue to show that they want to grow as well. Next up in Sony news, they announced their PS Plus games for December. Not the boldest of highlight months. We've had some really good ones from them earlier in this fall. With that being said, still a pretty solid slate here with a nice variety. We have LEGO 2K Drive as their headline game for the month of December, alongside one of John's favorites, Power Wash Simulator and Sable. Power Wash Sim, John's shaking his head. It was one of the most successful games on the planet last year. Has done continually well this year as well, dropping, I think it was Back to Future DLC, Final Fantasy DLC, SpongeBob SquarePants DLC, maybe Tomb Raider was this year as well. So continue to make some really cool partnerships in that area as far as IPs go. Yes, you are Power Wash simulating. And as John puts it, he doesn't want to be doing a job when he's gaming. And I get that. But it is a fun way to just throw some chill music on. Power Wash your way to victory, per se. I've had some fun with that game in particular, and it's an easy one to achievement hunt for the most part, though a little tedious at times. And the last one here, Sable. Sable was a game I wanted to love. I think it has a really, really cool art style, but it did drag a little bit as you're traversing the desert for me toward the middle of the game. With that being said, it is a pretty cool indie game and definitely one worth checking out on that bunch. John, I know you have more to say here, especially on Power Wash.
No, I don't. If you're going to take the time to power wash in a video game, crazy idea, go outside and actually power wash your own damn house. How about that? If you're going to sit there and be like, oh, but I can power wash from the comfort of my couch in my underwear. Well, congratulations. You can also do that outside in your underwear. I mean, your neighbors might not like it, but nonetheless, power wash your house. It probably needs it. Just actually go do it. Don't simulate it. Actually go do it. And you want to know what? You want a SpongeBob DLC? Have your neighbor's kid dress up in a SpongeBob outfit and power wash the kid's outfit. How about that? How about you just go spray the kids with the power washer in your neighborhood? There's your SpongeBob DLC right there for your damn power wash simulator. This is the stupidest thing ever. So stupid.
Wildly successful game, though.
Successful. So is Goat Simulator. I mean, look.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
I just, fine, look, there's, it's popular, it's fine, it's whatever. at the end of the day, I really don't care. I just think the idea of making a video game around power washing sounds dumb as hell. That's just me. I mean, for Joey, obviously, that hits him right in the sweet spot. And, you know, he has to explain to his wife why he's power washing inside the house on his Xbox versus power washing outside the house to make the HOA satisfied with the house getting a little dirty and whatnot. But that's neither here nor there.
Chat is really enjoying your comments here. They love your passion with Power Wash Simulator. Also going as far as to compare it to your Broncos offense.
Hey, that's been popping off for the past five games. Five games undefeated. This is not a sports broadcast, but damn it, I will defend my Broncos. Five-game win streak. The offense has been popping. Russell Wilson even got a standing ovation at the Nuggets game last night. The Nuggets won also, by the way. It is absolutely going off. I'm loving it. It's popping. Yeah. Pass it. It doesn't matter. They won. They won. They beat the Bills. They beat the Chiefs. They beat the Browns. Three teams that are almost, not the Bills anymore, but they were playoff bound. They've been on the struggle bus a little bit. I don't care. I do not care. The Broncos are back. The Browns are 7-3. What are you talking about? They're 7-3. They're first in their division. They're right there with the Ravens. I don't want to hear about. Oh, you know what? This is a gaming and esport podcast. I am not falling for this trap anymore. Joey, please move on, because I will make this a Broncos podcast if you're not careful.
Oh, the Bucking Broncos, I tell you. I mean, yes, the Broncos have definitely turned it on. I am actually picking up Russell Wilson in a fantasy league this week. I very well could come back to bite me, and the Broncos could begin a new losing streak. But we're going to see what happens, because I need a quarterback, literally no one available.
Joey, booty came through here, right? Why play as a goat when you can be one? Go live on a farm, eat grass, and blank yourself. Yes, you're you're right. Why be a goat in the video game when you can actually go simulate what it's like being a goat outside? 100% correct, Booty. You hit the nail right on the head.
Can you give us a quick goat noise, John?
No.
I actually don't remember what sound a goat makes. I was going to baa, but I'm like, that's a sheep. I don't really know on the goat. Maybe we'll find a sound effect and add it to the Discord, by the way, discord.me/OTN. Okay, let's move on, John, into the Xbox side of things. We talk PlayStation Plus. While it is a little bit different, let's move right into Game Pass from here. We got a look at the Game Pass slate for the first half of December. And, John, this is probably one of the juiciest months we have ever had as Game Pass subscribers. We got a lot on here. Just looking at the template, we can pull it up here for those live with us on Twitch. Most of these coming to cloud, PC, and console. A few that are only coming to one or two. But, yeah, for the most part, these are coming everywhere. We have Far Cry 6. We have Remnant from the Ashes. Rise of the Tomb Raider, all three of those big award-winning games. Spirit of the North Enhanced Edition. John, I think this was the game that you and I were just recently talking about that we saw in a preview. I think it was a mini showcase or something. Now we can get Spirit of the North to try instead of paying $35 for it. Woot, woot. We also have Steam World Build. We have Tin Hearts, another indie game that on a lot of people's list. While the Iron's Hot, World War Z Aftermath, Clone Drone in the Danger Zone, one of my favorite titles out there on this slate. Remnant 2, another big award winner, set to win some awards this year. Goat Simulator 3, again, Chad already on that one, and Against the Storm. So, John, a nice plethora here of about 12 games coming in the first part of December. I think, in my humble opinion, this is Xbox's way of kind of filling that holiday slate. Since their most recent release was Forza in October, they don't really have a big AAA game here to push the holiday season. So they're going to push the thing they've been trying to push for years, it feels like, and that is Game Pass. We see those subscriber numbers continue to go up. And with a holiday slate like this, I think they will continue to rise as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And Spirit of the North, yes, Joe, you are correct. That is the one we were looking at, Spirit of the North 2. So super excited that we get to play that without dropping the $35. Thank you, Xbox. I will be downloading that as well. Definitely want to check that out. Joey, I'll tell you what. I'm going to download Goat Simulator.
Are you really?
I'm going to go ahead and download it. I'm going to give it a try. Because apparently, I'm in the minority here that thinks the entire series is stupid. I think Power Wash Simulator is stupid. You know, and that's completely fine. That's fine. I will download it. I want to see what the hype is about, Joey, and I will have a full report back once I play it.
Wow. Goat Simulator being downloaded. I downloaded Remnant 2 last night. I've already played a little bit on PC, but glad to jump into that on console as well. Really a big fan of that. Big fan of the Tomb Raider series as well for another AAA one in there.
Were you
Far Cry
6,
I know
PC?
People complained about the graphics of the grass, but that is another game that did win quite a few awards and is definitely worth checking out. And as far as indies go, Tin Hearts, I've heard some really good things about as well. What were you saying, John?
Were you actually able to play it on PC?
Yeah. I have. I've played a little bit of Remnant on both platforms. Feels great on both. Highly recommend it. It's kind of, I would consider it a looter shooter. You are kind of looting your way through, but it's not like a traditional looter shooter, I guess, in some sense. Like, there is a little bit more story and stuff based to it. Definitely a cool game, though. And again, I think it's already won some awards and probably will continue to win quite a few more as well. Okay, next up on our slate, this one's a little bit open-ended. Some people started to get some promotional emails from Xbox encouraging players to tune into the Game Awards next Thursday, September 7th, noting, in quotes, important announcements and other Xbox news that you don't want to miss. We really have no idea what this is. There's speculation. Some of the games we've seen before at the Game Awards could return. Hellblade, I think, Senua's Saga Hellblade 2, the full name there, has been shown, I believe, twice at this point in Jeff's shows. Perfect Dark was originally revealed a few years ago in the Game Awards show. We've seen an Xbox console revealed before. So there's some speculation that maybe there'll be that kind of pro console or some sort of mid-gen refresh shown here. There's also thoughts of a new controller for Xbox being revealed here. I really have no idea. I do think we get some kind of game reveal. It would not surprise me if it was Hellblade. I think Hellblade is the next big game to come from Xbox early in 2023. I would love to see something new, though, whether that's an update on Perfect Dark, an update on Fable, maybe a completely new reveal altogether, I think could be fun. One that I think we will see is Certain Affinity has a partnership with Xbox right now. They're developing... It's changed a bit over the course of development. Project Suerte is the name of it, if you guys want to try to look it up a little bit. There's some information out there. More or less, it's like a Monster Hunter-like game. That's one they've been pushing a lot. Monster Hunter obviously doing some freaking amazing sales all across the world, really, for Capcom. They're trying to jump into this. And we saw EA kind of fail to do that earlier this year with Wild Hearts. It seems like Xbox and Certain Affinity are going to try as well, though I think they have taken a few different twists to it. And I believe it's a little bit more co-op focused than the others have been. So we'll have to see what that ends up looking like. Maybe something of a combination of Monster Hunter and Dauntless and all of those ones out there. With that being said, I really don't know what else, John. What are you hoping to see here? Is there a game? Obviously, Banjo 3E is always on our list. But is there any others that stick out to you?
Yeah, Perfect Dark would be really cool. I think that'd be a fantastic update there as well. I know some people are thinking that they're going to announce the first wave of Blizzard Activision games that are coming over to Game Pass as well. I think that would be kind of neat. I think that would be a really, really big, if that's what they announced that soon after the deal was closed, you know, the wound is still freshly open in Sony, that would just essentially be like not... just shaking salt in the wound. This would be taking the cap off and dumping the entire thing in the wound. I think that would be very entertaining. I'm not quite sure. Joey's over there coughing over that comment. I love it.
I just like that you choose violence in this area.
Always choose violence. Violence is always the answer. Disclaimer, violence is never the answer, please and thank you. So I think it would be great. I'm super excited to see what's going to happen at the Game Awards. It's going to be a fantastic show. I can't wait to watch it. And I'm really excited to see what Xbox is going to announce there.
And I think, I want to say this is like the 10th anniversary or something like that. So this should be a bigger show. I think Jeff will probably go all out. I think GTA 6 is going to be there as probably the big headlining announcement outside of awards. Probably bigger than awards, if we're being honest. I think you'll see some other... I don't necessarily know if hardware will make it. If hardware does, it could be the PlayStation 5 Pro. It could be the Switch 2. It could end up being something Xbox related with the controller or their next gen refresh if they do a mid-gen. I just don't know. I feel like Jeff could go all out here. I do think Elden Ring DLC could be a big surprise as well. Elden Ring obviously sweeping a ton of game awards last year. It would not surprise me if we see that first DLC make an appearance here as well. Just, yeah, lots of things to play with, and Jeff definitely has the connections to get it done if he wants to.
You know what we need to do, Joey?
What's
for
that?
The 10th anniversary of these awards, Jeff needs to go back to where it all started. We're talking about the basement of his house.
That's
where I want the show to be streamed from. I want the basement packed with people from the gaming industry, and have them, like, instead of walking across the stage, they have to, like, crawl onto his bed and give his acceptance speech into, like, a Blue Yeti microphone being recorded on a 1080i webcam that's connected via USB directly to the streaming computer. That's what I want to see for the 10th anniversary. I want them to go way, way back to the beginning.
Wow, that would be quite the image, sir. I mean, Chris Judge would have to bring a sleeping bag, given how long his speech was last year. But yeah, I don't know. It would be kind of interesting to see Jeff do some kind of like little video snippet, or at least show an old clip of the original show compared to today. Obviously a big stage. And from what we've heard, there will be enhanced security. So hopefully
Lies.
Bill Clinton's rabbi will not make his way up to the stage this time around. Things have gotten a few little suspect, let's say, over the last couple Keeley shows. So hopefully things are reined in a bit more this time around.
Joey says suspect. I say the most entertaining parts of his presentations have been the stage crashers. That's just me, though.
Oh, my gosh. See, chaos ensues. That's why his name is Fiasco. Next up, we have new screenshots from the Fallout TV series in development. I believe this one is over at Amazon, if I remember correctly. Amazon Prime working on Fallout alongside Bethesda. For those live with us here, we can pull up some of these screenshots. For those on the podcast, we'll talk through a little bit of these as well. It was Vanity Fair that ended up putting the screenshots out. We got to look at some of the set pieces as well as the costumes. John, this, again, I've mentioned it a few times on the show. There were three video game adaptations I was most excited for in the years ahead. Those were The Last of Us, which absolutely delivered. Fallout is the next one in line. And then the last one will be The Elder Scrolls, which I believe is in development at Netflix, if I remember correctly. But Last of Us, again, delivered phenomenally well. And I really think, at least from the screenshots and the very small snippet trailer we've seen so far, Fallout looks like it could deliver as well.
Yeah, it looks good. I'll give them that. I love this picture of my guy with no nose. I would probably say he's not a hunter, as smelling is not going to be his strong suit.
I don't know. There's more room to just sniff in, right? You're not limited to just the nostril space. You have a lot more capacity.
Yeah, that goes straight into the head cavity, sir. I'm pretty sure his smell senses are gone, and that's just skull he's breathing into. So we'll just do that. Anywho, I think this looks good. I think the screenshots that we have look fantastic. Have to wait to see how they do it. I mean, my only issue with anything Amazon does, I mean, Amazon did the Lord of the Rings series as well. And that was just an expensive, colossal waste of time. In my opinion, at least. I thought it was incredibly boring and way overproduced. That's neither here nor there. Hopefully this is not as bad. Super excited for it. I think The Last of Us has given me a little rejuvenation, if you will, a little more energy in the realm of crossovers into media. The Last of Us really helped out. Arcane really helped out as well.
Mm-hmm.
Having a lot of successes back-to-back-to-back of video game adaptations into the silver screen and onto streaming services and movies have really helped repress the memories of the Super Mario Bros. Movie from the 90s. Good job. Keep it up at Amazon. Don't let us down.
Yeah, I mean, it really has been a lot of good ones. Arcane kind of kicked it off. The Last of Us, like you mentioned. There's been some other good ones, too. Cyberpunk was pretty good from Netflix. I believe Dragon Age was on Netflix, and that was a pretty good adaptation. Dota as well over there. So Netflix has really led the charge in a lot of them. As far as live action, though, goes, HBO has obviously been the heavy hitter. Netflix kind of leading the animated side of things. Amazon, like you said, I know a lot of people did like The Lord of the Rings, The Power, or The Rings of Power, whatever it was called. It did really well review-wise for a while, and then certain like hardcore Lord of the Rings fans were not as big fans of it. I don't know if Amazon has really done any video gamey things yet. Can you think of one? I can't think of any.
No, and I don't know. I mean, Amazon's been hit and miss with some of their original content.
Amazon and Apple both are kind of where in that area for me. It seems very hit and miss. Netflix has been hit and mittens in the past, but I feel animated-wise, they've kind of been hit all over the place now.
Now, Joe, I don't know if you knew this. I didn't know it going into this, but I, during Thanksgiving, I took my family out to see Napoleon.
Uh-huh.
Napoleon is an Apple TV Studios film production.
It is, and it was a mid film.
And for what'd you say?
I said it was pretty mid.
You didn't like it?
I did not. I'd give it a 6 out of 10.
Wow. Okay, I gave it a little bit higher. I did think they really missed an opportunity to expand on his upbringing, since he came from a poor family and rose to essentially a European dictator. But I do have to say, Joey, just real quick, the intercourse scenes that were very short-lived were probably some of the funniest moments in a movie I've ever seen in my life. Full disclosure.
They were definitely awkward.
Fully clothed. And think like a bunny rabbit. And then it cuts to another scene. I thought it was absolutely hysterical, Joey. I was laughing probably louder than I should have during those two scenes. But I thought it was pretty freaking funny. But Joaquin Phoenix killed it. I think he did a great job playing
the acting
Napoleon.
Was very good.
The acting was incredible.
Was definitely very good. The CGI was terrible.
So CGI was bad.
Yeah.
Kirby, she played his wife before the divorce. She did an outstanding job. She was absolutely fantastic.
Josephine,
thank you. Yep. I think she actually carried it more than less the entire movie. Yeah. She was absolutely incredible. The CGI was bad. They really missed telling a story wise, but I think the acting was probably the reason why I gave it a 7 out of 10.
Good.
But just bring that up because I didn't realize it was going to be an Apple production. So that kind of surprised me a little bit when I saw that pop up on the screen. I was like, wait a minute, I didn't know they were doing this. But they are very hit and miss as well. I do agree.
Definitely, definitely. So if you guys want to check out that Fallout TV series, it is set to debut April 12th, 2024. Next up, sticking with the Fallout theme and just quickly touching on it, they're heading into Season 15 for Fallout 76. The big score is going to be the theme, and it's going to be a casino-themed update dropping alongside the release of Atlantic City. We have a little trailer to play here, and then we can just briefly touch on it. Overall, John, I love the idea of Fallout moving to Atlantic City. We saw them kind of go to the coal mines of Pittsburgh, and I think really switching it up here with a boardwalk, give us a casino. I think there could be a lot of fun storylines to do there. You have the bouncer aspect, you have the high roller aspect, Atlantic City in that kind of crime-ridden area, per se. Casinos are an area where a lot of crime can potentially come about, as well as some very ritzy and kind of high-end stuff. So I feel like there is a big breadth of area for them to kind of work between here with the casino theme. Some of the pictures and concept art look really cool as well. Personally, I'm not a big Fallout 76 player. It's just tough to get into many MMOs, and obviously our listeners know you're a big WoW fan, so you probably won't be picking this one up either. With that being said, we do know some people in the OTN Discord server who do play, and as far as updates go, this is a pretty cool-looking update.
Now, Joey, look, I said it before, and I'll say it again. If you want to experience something, you should probably do it in real life and not a video game. If you want to experience violence in a casino, just go to the Horseshoe at Baltimore. I mean, I've seen so many fights in that casino. Like, just go experience it in real life. It's more fun in real life than it is in a video game. I'll just say that.
You are wild. take this all with a grain of salt. Everything John is saying tonight, grain of salt, guys. We are not sponsoring these things. Yes, with that being said, it does look like a cool update. If you're into Fallout 76, go ahead and check this out. We did mention it here in the Xbox section. Simply because Xbox does own Bethesda, Fallout 76 is pretty much available everywhere but Nintendo Switch, though. Play it on PC, PlayStation, or Xbox, whatever your choice may be. With that being said, let's move our way over to PC, John.
Hold on.
Wow, yes, sir.
Real quick, speaking of... I'm sorry, you said play something where and not on Switch?
Anywhere but Switch.
Okay, PC, anywhere but Switch. So the amazing game that is Arkham Knights was released on Switch, and the graphics,
oh Lord,
are a nightmare. Like, you thought the console game was a little glitchy and a little out there. The graphics on Switch, people are comparing them comparing the graphics to like,
it's like
Android
PS2?
Mobile game graphics from like 2014. And they look brutal. In fact, hold on a second. I want to find it because I was looking at them and some of the 3D model renderings were absolutely brutal. Let's see here.
Maybe we do have a Nintendo Switch section after all. Get old Gotham Knights.
Yeah, Gotham Knights, that too.
Yeah, Nintendo Switch is definitely behind the times, and I feel like they won't announce the new Switch at Keighley's show. I don't think they really necessarily need to. With that being said, it is a great platform to do something like that if they do eventually. But it wouldn't surprise me if it's a random Wednesday Nintendo Switch Direct either at some point. But yeah, graphics-wise, they are definitely lagging behind the other two. In their defense, to some degree, they did come out considerably before the PlayStation and the Xbox. So they are a little bit behind the times in terms of processors and chips and all of that. Graphics definitely are starting to age. In some of the games, obviously, the Nintendo first party is not the most graphically in tuned. Zelda games look fine. Pikmin, Mario, they're more of that cartoony graphic style, and they're not super high res, like photorealistic games that you have on stuff like PC and Xbox and PlayStation. With that being said, when it comes to third party games, it has definitely been a rough comparison, to say the least. Their first party can stand its own ground because it's first party Nintendo and the IPs are so big. But when it comes to those third party graphics comparisons, it is definitely lagging overall. No luck finding them over there.
I can't find. I should have saved it. What am I doing? But yeah, go on Twitter or X or whatever the heck it's called. You can find the screenshots up on there, and they do a PS5 versus Nintendo Switch comparison. It's brutal. It's bad. Even the Batmobile does not look like the Batmobile. It's brutal.
Yeah, I can't find them on a quick image search either. But yes, guys, please check those out because John would like you to, and why would it's you funny. Not do not? That? But yes, it is rough. If you think like I think back to like Cyberpunk when it was originally shown on like PlayStation 4 and Xbox One, a lot of these look even worse than those screenshot comparisons. Yeah. So it is rough out there. With that being said, while you guys are discovering those screenshots, we're going to head over to PC and John is going to fill us in on WoW Classic Season of Discovery, which has arrived today.
Yeah. I wish I could fill you in on this. I don't play Classic. Because personally, I think the game peaked in Wrath of the Lich King, so I really don't want to go backwards from that. Mm. But nonetheless, it's going to be a fresh take on the vanilla experience with some little quirks hidden in here and there. It's not going to be like a carbon copy of vanilla. It's just going to be like Easter eggs hidden here and there, maybe some extra abilities here and there. Think of it like, I don't want to call it New Game Plus, but essentially what it's going to do is it's going to just alter the gameplay enough to keep it fresh and interesting going forward. So it'll be interesting. They're bringing back some spells. They're bringing back some items that they got rid of. Metamorphosis, which you just saw on the screen here, is probably one of my favorite ones from Warlock that they took away. And that was probably one of my favorite abilities in the game, period, when I played Warlock. But it's cool. And they're going to have level brackets like they're explaining right now. Max level starts at 25, and then they're going to raise it throughout the year, playing through the Season of Discovery. So it's going to keep the game fresh. It's going to keep the game interesting, which is what makes MMORPGs great, is keeping things up to date, is keeping things going, is keeping things interesting for the player instead of just redoing the same content over and over, making things slightly different, a la the League of Legends approach, where you are playing the same exact game, but it's always different because you have different drakes, you have different barons now, apparently. You have different champions that are going to show up, different items, different builds, different comps, different everything. So this is kind of their way to keep the vanilla game, the classic game, if you will, interesting, fresh, and changing ever so slightly every couple weeks, every couple months, just to keep the player base entertained and happy going forward. And they're going to do that by again, the big thing, bringing back certain items and bringing back certain abilities that they took out of the game because either A, it was too broken when the expansions came out, or B, because they were able to take those effects from those items and merge them into other items with different stats on them. So it's just different things they're doing. They're trying to be unique and trying to be different. So I actually really like it. Will it be enough to pull me into Classic? No. I'm really enjoying the story right now on retail. I'm really enjoying the end of Dragonflight. I'm really looking forward to the War Within that comes out next year. BlizzCon got me super hype and got a lot of people back to retail. But it doesn't mean people aren't going to check out Classic. Classic's not for me, though. If I go back, I'll play Classic Wrath of the Lich King, but I'm not going to go all the way back to vanilla to experience this. But I do think it is cool for those who do want to experience the vanilla style of play with a slight twist to it.
I like it. I like it. So for those playing Classic, some new content coming your way. And as John said, with it being an MMO, it's going to continue to come your way throughout Season of Discovery. Lots of cool innovations coming there. Next up in our PC notes, we had the PC Gamers PC Gaming Show Most Wanted. Yes, that is a mouthful. And yes, it happened this afternoon on, what is today? Thursday, November 30th. We're not going to hit every one of the 25 here, but to take a look, let's do the top five. Number five from PC Gamer is Helldivers 2. This one from Arrowhead Game Studios, set to come out February 28th, 2024. Again, it's a co-op FPS game. I believe it was first revealed at a PlayStation Showcase, if I remember correctly. And it's definitely a cool-looking one. It kind of has that, I was going to say Helldiver approach. It kind of reminds me a little bit of like a... almost Mad Max meets Halo ODST, if that's any kind of comparison that people can put their minds around. It's kind of a cool-looking game. I think it's going to be a fun co-op FPS game and something that's a little bit different than some of the other co-op FPS that we have out there. A lot of them very looter-shootery at this point. I don't believe this is a looter-shooter. I never played the original Hellblade, or Helldivers, rather. With that being said, from the trailers, I'm not quite getting looter-shooter, and it is a cool-looking one. Would I have put it as number five? Probably not on my PC gaming list. But, John, any additional thoughts here on Helldivers 2?
No.
Okay, we'll get to the next one because I know this one is definitely on your list. Like a Dragon Infinite Wealth, this one from Ryagagotoku Studio, coming out January 25, 2024. Ryagagotoku Studio. This is the next game in the Yakuza saga. It is so hard to pronounce certain words while I'm trying not to cough. Launching in January, it's very high on the list of most people as far as Japanese games go. A lot of people really liking the idea of kind of taking the tried and true Yakuza strategy and turning it around into something that almost feels like an adult Animal Crossing style of game alongside that normal Yakuza play style. I think this is going to be a wacky one. It is not as high on my list, but I do know a lot of people looking out for this one as it is kind of, again, taking that tried and true formula of a very, very popular franchise and adding some new layers to it to kind of give it a little bit more of a management sim side as well. I know you want to really ride that dolphin over there.
No.
The next one I am really excited for, probably toward the top of my list, Hades 2 coming in at number 3 from Supergiant Games. Doesn't have a release date as of yet. I believe it is being looked at for 2024, however, at least according to Xbox's marketing. Supergiant Games never misses, according to this PC Gamer article, but it also never does sequels. So something kind of exciting here coming out, being the studio's first sequel, keeping on that patented amazing art style we got from Hades 1, switching things up, adding more layers to it, and it's set to hit early access in the middle of 2024. Again, guys, if you're into roguelite experiences, or even kind of like Greek god mythology, this is a really, really cool game to look into. Elden Ring Shadow of the Erdtree. John, you and I were just talking about this for the Game Awards. We could see more of this one there from Software. It is just a DLC, but a DLC of one of the most award-winning games in history in Elden Ring. Definitely one to look forward to for PC game fans as well as those on console when it does eventually release, hopefully in 2024. Last but not least, taking the number one spot is Stalker 2, Heart of Chernobyl. The spelling does differ depending on who you're asking and where what country you live in. This one takes the number one PC Gamer Most Wanted spot as chosen by their full illustrious council of voters, which was a panel of over 70 experts. I'm not quite sure who those experts were, but I do know this one is on a lot of people's lists. John, we've talked about this game a few times. I never played the original Stalker, but this game has been through hell with development. Originally from a Ukrainian-based team, one of their game studios was bombed from Russia. They ended up having people leave and go to Poland to develop a new studio. Other developers left the studio and ended up joining the Ukrainian army. It has been probably one of the most tumultuous development processes, I would say even more tumultuous than Skull and Bones. There has just been a wild time with this one, and it has been back and forth and a lot of real-world issues and a lot of real people suffering from this one. And I know a lot of people want to see this game do well, not only because the title is really good and Stalker 1 did extremely well, but because of all the developers who've really put their passion and trust into this game as well.
Yeah, I was about to make a comment on the spelling of Chernobyl, but I guess you're right. I guess it does vary based upon country. That is the wrong spelling in my book. Nonetheless, that is Chernobyl. You're right. This game has been through hell, literally and physically, with everything going on in Ukraine, with the Russian invasion, and just the nightmare that's gone on over there. So, it's definitely a game a lot of people are rooting for. Stalker was a great game. A lot of people enjoy that. The sequel should be just as good, just with everything else that's surrounding this game. I feel like a lot of people are going to be pulling for this one. So fingers crossed. Hopefully this game, when it does come out, is going to be great. It's going to be good to go. And a lot of people are going to enjoy it and hopefully gets great reviews. A lot of people pulling for this game.
Absolutely. Definitely wanted to do well, again, not only for the game, but for all the developers who, some literally giving their lives for this game in their country while the development of it went on. And it's been delayed a few times, as obviously reasonable with everything going on. I'm excited for it to finally ship for not only gamers, but again, very much for the developers as well. Next up, last but not least, in our PC exclusive section here, we have Prime Gaming free titles for December. This one, not a ton of titles that I would say highlight a lot of people's list, but some nice ones in here as well. We have Aground, Deathloop, Akara, maybe. I'm not 100% sure how to pronounce that one. And then Culminera. So mostly indie games in this one. Deathloop obviously being kind of the mascot game of the selection. A few other ones in here. A Tiny Sticker Tale also mentioned. Asteroids Recharge from Epic Game Studios. Quite a few games, though. It looks like it's going to be about 7 in total. And again, Deathloop kind of being that headlining game here. But everyone likes free things. If you're already subscribed to Amazon Prime, may as well download those Prime Gaming titles when they hit in December as well. Over to our multi-platform general gaming news, which a lot of this honestly has been, but we're kind of going with where the developers end up sitting. ReedPop, mostly known for their running of, unfortunately not E3, they tried to do E3, but mostly known for PAX East, PAX West, and all of the PAX conferences. They're reportedly seeking a buyer for a number of their publications, including Eurogamer, Game Informer, VG247, Rock, Paper, Shotgun, and more. Unfortunately, very unfortunate news here, seeing a lot of this kind of move in that direction. Writing has been an interesting spot, not only for gaming, as we've seen a lot of layoffs in technology as an industry as a whole, but also as we see kind of the rise of AI. Journalism is one of the things that could be taken over sooner than later, according to many experts in that area. It looks like ReedPop may be trying to bite the bullet here and maybe avoid some layoffs by spinning off some of their stuff. And for now, the Gamer Network is reportedly up for sale. We really haven't heard an official announcement, but this article did come from Game Industry .biz, which is one of those publications that falls under ReedPop. So they most likely have some good inside scoop on this one in particular. I don't believe they've heard any buyers yet, but I'm not 100% sure. They also have some holdings in some pretty big stuff like Digital Foundry. I believe, John, I'm not 100% sure, but those Gotham Knights screenshots you were talking about earlier, there's a good chance they were from Digital Foundry. They run a lot of the comparisons of like Xbox graphics versus PC versus this graphics card versus PlayStation and all that good stuff. Very well known throughout the industry and apparently up for sale now as well. Anything else on ReedPop?
No, I mean, I really hope that journalism doesn't go the way of AI. There's the whole controversy of articles that were written possibly by AI that was published under the Sports Illustrated title. I think there is an aspect to human emotion and human touch mm-hmm. to journalism, to these articles, to these news stories that AI will never be able to fully understand. You can try to explain the emotions to AI. Like, go on right now and go to like to chat GPT and try to like say, hey, write me an article about X, Y, and Z, and then try to ask it to interject emotions into it. It really struggles with it. Now, granted, you know, 20, 30 years from now, maybe the coding gets to the point where AI can do that. But I really just don't see AI be able to hit on that same level that a human can hit on when writing a story, whether it's like throwing sarcasm or humor or using certain words to convey seriousness. I mean, maybe eventually AI will get to that point, but I just, at this point in time, I really don't see that as a thing as of yet.
I would agree. So we'll see. We'll see if ReadPop's thoughts here as far as cashing in, whether it's due to AI, whether it's due to trying to avoid layoffs, whatever the case may be. It does seem like these are for sale, and we will continue to report if they do end up eventually finding a buyer. Next up, John, I think is a little bit of a questionable topic, and I'm curious to get your thoughts on it. EA recently filed a new patent to let players voice in-game characters. I think the idea is a cool concept, but I'm mostly against this. I feel like this is just another way for voice actors rather to get kind of shafted here. We've seen it a little bit. We've seen it both on the television side as well as the gaming side, where companies and developers and producers are trying to go out and get the rights for AI-created voices from actors. So if an actor eventually passes away or ends up retiring, that they can still kind of use an AI-generated version of their voice. We've also seen people do it for advertisements. We've seen it begin to get developed into the gaming world of things. Unfortunately, I think this is probably EA's direction here. They'll try to spin it like, oh, we want you to feel more a part of the character. We want you to be able to really immerse yourself further into the game, which to some degree, maybe they can accomplish that. But I really just feel like this is a way for EA to save a dime and just sell more football ultimate packs.
Yeah, so the thing that comes to my mind when I was reading this, several things here. One, I don't see this working on a game like, hypothetically speaking, like a God of War. Like, your voice will never have the same impact the voice actor that does Kratos does. I think that is a performance in itself. I think the only... Okay, a couple things. One, there's obviously the privacy issue. You are essentially consenting your voice to be run through an AI program that is going to speak on your behalf using your voice. Video game companies and developers are notorious for hacks, for leaks, and in the age of identity theft being two clicks away on the internet at all times, I wouldn't feel too comfortable about uploading my voice on there. And two, EA also is a big fan of letting you upload your face into video games, and that does a horrific job. It does a horrible job at you submitting like five, you know, selfies of yourself from different angles, and it's like, oh yeah, we're gonna import your face into the game, and it looks like your face if it got ran over by an 18-wheeler when it gets loaded into the game.
So it's not that bad.
It's pretty bad, Joey. It's pretty brutal. So you know, I don't think EA is actually gonna be capable of doing. Maybe the voice is a little bit easier to do than the face. I don't know. But knowing EA, it's gonna be, you know, 2008 technology because they can't write new code. So if they do this, I think this only works in one way and one way only, is sports games, where you create your own player, where you physically create your own player in game.
Agreed.
And that's your character. A lot of times those characters don't have voices. Like, you take a look at the old FIFAs of the late 2010s, where you had an actual storyline that you could play through. That's different. If you're doing like a player career mode, or if you're doing a manager mode in EA FC 24, I think that is a place where your voice could be inserted into that character and that character only. That's the only way that would make sense to me. I don't see EA creating, let's say, a Star Wars game, and you can create your own Jedi, and then you have to put your own voice into it. I don't see that happening. Or if there's a standard Jedi, let's say like a Cal Kestis coming out in the third Star Wars Survivor series or Star Wars Jedi series, Your voice is not going to replace the voice actor that does Cal Kestis. I just don't see that happening. And if it does, I think voice actors should go on strike. Because I'm sorry, little Timmy next door here is not going to be able to, be able to provide a voice. And that's the other thing, too, is the privacy concerns, not only for identity theft, but if you're under the age of 18, you're essentially asking for identification information via voice to be uploaded onto the internet. Like, we already had issues with, minors uploading their face photos into these games. We had issues with minors in loot boxes. Like, that was considered gambling. There's so many different things. Like, where do you draw the line between, okay, this game is for people that are 18 and older because of technology like this, where you give your voice willingly, you consent to give your voice to EA to put into their program that will allow your voice to voice a character in their game versus a minor doing it. Because again, God forbid EA gets hacked again and all that information gets leaked again. And the hacker takes that voice can now be used in an AI algorithm to make phone calls on behalf of someone using their identity. So there's just a lot of red flags with all of this.
I mean, the other irony is the work side of things, right? Like, yes. I mean, it's kind of ironic because I talked about playing Power Sim and enjoying it earlier, or Power Wash, rather. But the whole working side of it, if you're going to do like a big epic RPG, and again, I highly doubt something like a God of War would go this route, but let's say Mass Effect, you're playing through this big RPG. Could you imagine how many freaking voice lines you'd have to record throughout that? Like, oh, let me play this combat, but then let me record for 20 minutes so I can progress through this dialogue. Like, I don't feel like you would fit in there. It would become too much work. You would feel too choppy. I think you make a good point with the sports games. You're already creating your own player, so there is the possibility to insert it there. But even then, like, I think the press conferences are just fine with a couple text options. I don't necessarily think you need to go all overboard. Maybe you're playing Madden and you want to say hike, and they can use your voice line for hike. Maybe if you get hit, you can use a grunt for when you get tackled. I don't know what it may be. But I think full-on voice lines would just get so obnoxious after a while. Outside of, like, sounds, I just don't really see this catching on as something people would be super into. And like you said, the privacy concern is obviously another huge big one as well. There's a number of RPGs out there where you create your own character. I think of something like Destiny, for example. You're creating your own guardian. It's very much you. There's no other voice really attached to it. Something like that could work. But again, it comes down to that number of voice lines. Like, do you really want to sit here and record dialogue before you go out on a quest? It just doesn't feel like it'd be fluid for anything really outside of those sports games as of now.
Yeah, and as much as people want to, crap all over this game, Hogwarts Legacy, I think, did a fantastic job where they had a male and female voice actor and actress record their lines, and then they used audio engineering to change the pitch of their voice, so you had different options to choose from. So, like, obviously, if you're someone that has a deeper voice, you could pick the male voice line and pitch it down so it was a little bit closer to your voice. Mm-hmm. Same thing with the female voice. It's, if it was a little bit higher, a little bit lower, you could pick something that mimicked or got close to what it was to make it a little bit more similar. But at the end of the day, both actor and actress were British, so I don't have a British accent, so I wasn't going to identify with it that way anyway. But nonetheless, like, I feel like that's sufficient. I don't think I haven't seen a single person on social media or talked to anybody in real life in the gaming industry or gamers anywhere that said, man, I really wish I could hear my voice when I play God of War. Or, man, I really wish I could be the voice of Master Chief in Halo. Or, man, I love Star Wars so much that I just want to voice a random Jedi that means absolutely nothing in this universe just because I want my voice. I've never heard a single person say that. Would it be cool to hear your voice in a game? Yeah, it would be cool. But there's so many issues with that. There's so many. I feel like it's just fixing a problem that's not there. It's fixing something that is not being asked for. And if you're EA, I feel like this is something that should be so far down on the totem pole when it comes to making your games more accessible, more entertaining, and not just reusing the same spaghetti code for 20 years and calling it EAFC 24 or EAFC 25 or EAFC 26 or Madden 20, 21, 22, 23, 24. Maybe actually work on your product, and then this is on your back burner. How about that?
Right, and maybe this is their way of innovating, John. Maybe this is them taking that feedback. Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's a scapegoat. And I honestly think, while, again, this could be related to the sports games, and it's very possible it is, this, again, I think if I'm reading between the lines, I think this is a way for them to maybe start transitioning in one way or another away from some of these voice actors, potentially, to cut down some of those bills on the EA side and line some more of the executive pockets. But, again, we'll have to wait and see what it ends up being. It's just a patent for now. It could become nothing. It could be a protective patent to say, like, hey, Sony, Nintendo, Xbox, whoever, you guys can't do this because we've already laid the groundwork with our patent. But again, for now, it's just very open-ended, and it doesn't fully describe what it would do outside of how it works.
I mean, I thought the voice actor for Lucio already charged way too much for his autograph. Imagine what it would be now that he's out of work because of AI. It'd be like $800 for an autograph instead of $7.
And just imagine if it's for a pop toy. God forbid.
Goes up to 1,200, baby. Let's go.
That was a wild time indeed. Just a couple other stories to hit on today's episode. Destiny 2. Bungie has obviously been through their rough and down patches over the last couple months. Unfortunately, some big layoffs over there, some big projection changes as well. And Destiny 2 player numbers have been bleeding away quite a bit as of late. But Destiny 2 has officially made a new announcement. Their next expansion, and this was mentioned by Bloomberg quite a few weeks ago, it's now been officially announced. The final shape is being moved from February 2024 to early June 2024. So what is that, a 3 to 4 month shift? February, March, April, May. Joey does math. Yeah, about 4 months or so. 3 or 4 months, depending when in February it was. Stop, don't make me laugh or I will have a coughing attack. overall, Destiny 2 making this final announcement. Again, guys, this is something we kind of knew was coming. Jason Schreier with Bloomberg barely misses. If he reports on something, there's about a 99% chance it ends up happening. This just being Bungie officially confirming that move to June. Do I think it's the right move? Probably. I feel like Destiny 2 has been on a little bit of a downward slope as of late. The Witch Queen did extremely well. Lightfall, or whatever the most recent one was, did not do as well, and it's been bleeding some players since then. I feel like they need to have a big rebound here. The final shape is supposed to end the, what is it, the Light and Dark Saga, I believe is what Destiny is. This should end up and wrap that story all together. They need it to hit very well if they eventually hope to take those players into a Destiny 3 or into this next saga, whatever it may be. I think the extra delay here, especially with the recent layoffs, will give them more time to work on this, more time to polish it up, and hopefully land pretty well on its feet.
Speaking of layoffs, if you want to vote for Bungie for Best Community Support for their Game Awards nomination, head on over to thegameawards.com to vote for Bungie for Best Community Support after laying off their community support team.
What a freaking mess. I swear, if that wins the award and that esports coach who did not coach a single game wins the award, I voted for him, by the way.
Did you really?
Yeah, I just...
Chaos.
The esports awards, they just literally... I have no idea who this committee is, but I feel like they just do not understand esports. There are some that I agree with in these categories for nominees. There are some that just don't make sense at all. And same with content creators, but say no more. I feel like most of the games are at least somewhat on target. But yeah, we'll see. Joey. Thursday night should be some exciting announcements, some big award winners, and John and I will give our thoughts as well.
Joey, they have over 120 jurors on this panel. Well-educated, well-informed, in the loop, specialists, experts in the gaming and esport and content creation world that are voting for these nominees. Are you going to tell me that they don't know what they're doing? All 120 of them, Joey?
I'm just saying. Jeff
Keighley gave passes to the wrong people.
Just let it be known, most of these people are gaming publications, and not every gaming publication necessarily understands content creation and esports. Do I think they should be combined in some way? Sure. Have a little side list of these were some great teams that won championships and some great coaches over the year. Sure. Do like a little, I don't know, like a... it's almost like a memoir thing, right? Like a nice little list. Like, congratulations to our big eSport tournament winners this year. Dota 2, Halo, League of Legends, whatever the case may be. Sure, throw it on there. Do a little memorial. You have some pictures of some trophy ceremonies. Bada bing, bada boom. You have your little content creator. 90% of these people that they nominate, I feel like people haven't heard of. But then you get to the real bread and butter, the games that these people who are voting actually understand and know about. I mean, the biggest argument, right, is they have a coach that is nominated who did not coach a single game in that game he's nominated for this year.
Yeah.
He even came out and called out the Game Awards. Like, that part is just wild to me. There's some questionable stuff on the game side as well, sure, but I feel like the gaming stuff is generally much more on target and much more on point than the content creator and esports awards have been. So if you guys want some real esports awards, we'll give away some OTN esports awards maybe later this year. If there's any esports leagues left at this point, it feels like they're all shutting down or selling their spots away, so that is a thing as well.
We're going to give the OTN gold sticker award, the gold star sticker award. we're going to mail people gold stars, be like, congratulations, we think you're great.
It is wild times out here. I feel like that would be fun, actually. Let's just send little developers. We'll send them, like, I don't know, some pizza coupons and a gold star. Be good times.
$3 off your order from Little Caesars.
Yeah. We do what we can around here. We do what we can. Next up, just a couple more. Capcom has hosted a 15-minute Dragon's Dogma 2 showcase. I'll be honest, I never played Dragon's Dogma 1. John, I doubt you played Dragon's Dogma 1 either. I think it was much bigger in Asia than it was over in the U.S., at least for our side of things. They revealed the new release date, however, March 22nd, 2024. That's been a big slot, kind of that late February, late March window for Japanese big RPG-style games. Elden Ring launched in that spot. Wulong recently launched in that spot. I believe that Ronin game is also looking around that spot. So definitely seems to be a big window for those JRPG-style games. And Dragon's Dogma 2 is definitely on a lot of people's list as one to look out for in 2024. This next one, ha! It feels like we have touched on this one quite a few times over the years, not months, years. Ubisoft Skull and Bones looks like it is finally, yes, finally ready to set sail in February 2024, at least according to Insider Gaming. John, this is literally not even going up and making like crazy thoughts about this. I think this is literally the seventh or eighth official release date we have gotten from Skull and Bones. This poor game has been delayed time and time again. It has taken quite the cannonball to its hull along development. It has feels like it sunk literally a few times and somehow came back from the dead. Davies Jones Locker has hosted it a number of months throughout the years, but it might finally be making its way. Do you think it actually lands in 2024?
No chance in hell. I have zero faith in this game. I feel bad for the people working on it. I really do. This game has the kiss of death. It has received the paper with the black dot on it. This game is doomed for all eternity. And if it does actually release this on their 80th millionth release date, it's going to be a game that's like 80% incomplete, full of bugs, full of graphic errors, full of glitches, full of everything. Just,
I mean, John, you really think 80% incomplete, though, after this sucker's been in, it's been like 7 to 10 years in development, I feel like. Like, it's been around for so long.
Joey, I'm about to say something that may shock some people here. As much as I love Starfield, Starfield was also in development for 10-plus years and has a lot of bugs in it as
well.
Yeah,
it is true.
So yes, I have zero faith. Look, and I'm going to make a very generic statement. And I don't want people who work for video game companies, for developers, to take this the wrong way. It's not a personal shot at individuals as much as it is a industry standard. But again, we have gotten to the point in gaming, in the history of gaming, where shipping incomplete games is the standard, is the norm. Long ago, in the days of cartridges and CDs, when we did not have direct connection to the internet, a la pre-PlayStation 2 era, games had to be shipped completed. And if there was a bug or a glitch in it, then there was a bug or a glitch in it. Games took a little bit longer to come out because of it, because they wanted to make sure it was polished and they could fix what they could fix. Now, if a game is 60% completed, guess what? The next 20% will be available for purchase in a DLC, you know, and so on and so forth. Or You can launch a game that's absolutely broken on a platform and release it on PC because, hey, that one at least somewhat works, and we'll delay the console version for a couple months while we get that fixed. But, hey, we still launched on time, asterisk. I don't know. Like, to me, I feel like a game being shipped halfway incomplete or halfway broken is the norm. And it's a sad truth of where video game development has gone. So, I do think Skull and Bones, even though it's been in development hell for the last 8 to 10 years, has been delayed since we were in high school to now. It's just, it would not surprise me. Like, this game will come out. It will get a cyberpunk-style patch in 3 weeks after it's out to fix a couple issues. And it'll still be broken. And then they'll go the arc route where they will just support it here and there. And in reality, it's still just a broken game. If it comes out in February, I would be shocked. But if it does come out in February, I fully expect it to be a fully broken game.
Okay, John, we're going to play a little trivia. Okay. Those on Twitch and those on the podcast later down the road, feel free to join in as well. So let's just assume, John, the release date ends up being February 2024. For those with premium, you can play it a couple days early, February 13th. 2024 is the year. I know you're shaking your head, and it very well may not make it out in that time. But let's just assume, for the sake of things, 2024. When was this game originally announced to be coming out year-wise?
2011.
Okay, that is absurd. That is a wild guess. 2018, guys. I think that is the most delayed I have ever seen a game, literally in my lifetime. 6 years since the original This Game Is Coming Out date to now. I mean, it's been wild the last couple years to see some games delayed. Like, The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild was delayed like 2 years. Starfield was delayed a year. Halo Infinite was delayed a year. God of War was delayed a year. We've seen big games get delayed a year. But I feel like that is such more of a recent time thing. Like, even, like, I don't know, 5 years ago, games were not delayed really more than a year. 6 freaking years of delays? That is absolutely absurd to me.
Yeah. Now, see, look, I think any game that was supposed to come out within the last 4 years, I'm giving them a pass. And the reason why is because COVID. It shut studios down and delayed games. Like, they weren't able to have full teams working on these games at the same rate because they didn't have the same equipment. I guarantee you developers did not let their employees take their work computers home from their office because of, proprietary information on those computers. So they had to work remotely. So everything got delayed. That makes complete sense. Yes, I did say 2011. I don't care. I'm being a troll. I'm being toxic. I don't care. Being delayed 4 or 5 years is ridiculous. But if you were if the game was supposed to come out in 2020, 2001, or 2021, 2022, or even 2023, really, I'm giving you a pass. And that's solely because of the issue with COVID. Now,
but let's talk about the past. I'm thinking like a year, maybe 2 years max. 6+ years seems like one hell of a pass.
Oh, Joey, speaking from our professional lives, if anything is delayed 6+ years, it's probably killed off and written off years before it hits the 6 year mark.
Agreed.
If we say, hey, look, we're going to implement a new system or a new program or new software by the end of 2024, and 2024 rolls around and it's still not ready, they're going to scrap it. They're not going to force something broken to go into effect that's going to cause more headaches. Or I would like to think companies wouldn't be dumb enough to do that. And a lot of companies aren't dumb enough to do that, let alone say, hey, look, we're going to roll out this piece of technology and then delay it for 6 years and then say, you know what? Now we're actually going to do it. And we promise the eighth time's is the charm. And we'll see how it goes there. No, because I guarantee you in that 8 year time span, there's other options that have come out that are better than what that one software program was working on. Same thing here. Skull and Bones if this was to come out 5-6 years ago, like it was supposed to, it would have been competing with Sea of Thieves. Well, it didn't, and it couldn't. So it didn't compete with Sea of Thieves. Sea of Thieves has such a stronghold on it. And when Skull and Bones came out in its beta testing, it was atrocious. And it still couldn't go up against Sea of Thieves. It couldn't make a dent in anything Sea of Thieves. So Skull and Bones is going to come out 6 years past its release date. Okay, fine. Whoop-de-doo. Congratulations. You've already missed the mark. You've already missed the mark. You are now starting so far behind where your competitors have already built up to and passed. That's like, I don't know, Amazon launching an MMORPG to take on World of Warcraft and just rushing it and just putting out a broken game that eventually gets shut down months later because it's bad. How about that? If you're going to go up against something that's already established, it has to be good. It cannot be something that's been delayed 6, 7, 8 years because it just wasn't ready. You're giving your competitors more time to get a stranglehold on that market. That's exactly what happened with Skull and Bones. They're diving into the deep end, and I don't think they're able to tread water here. And I think this game is sunk on arrival.
Yeah, I definitely think it's going to have a very hard time because not only is it coming out so late after it was announced and the hype has kind of died down, but like you said, you've given competitors time. You've given Sea of Thieves plenty of time to make great partnerships like they have with Disney, and we've seen some really cool stuff come out of the fruition of that, from The Legend of Monkey Island to the Pirates of the Caribbean different crossovers. We've seen a ton of other pirate-style games jump up as well, and a lot of people kind of hearkening back to, if you want to give us a game, give us Assassin's Creed Black Flag, and kind of expand on that is what a lot of people have asked Ubisoft from, and unfortunately it doesn't look like they're going to quite get that. I think one of the most fun parts of pirate games, in my humble opinion, is going on to the other ships and kind of commandeering them and taking them over. At least in the last playtest that I believe was shown, that's all automated in Skull and Bones. You literally go up to the ship and you click a button to board the ship. And I think that kind of takes a lot of the fun, a lot of the, like, mystery, the creativity, out of a lot of these pirate games. Supply gathering can be kind of boring at times, but it's kind of also a cool way to explore the island. In Skull and Bones, at least during some of the play footage they showed, you just drive up to the side of the island and you just ask for supplies and it just automatically loads into your barrels. I just feel like it takes kind of like some of the simulation out of that pirate life that people are looking for in these pirate games, and I just don't know if that's quite going to land, if that is the direction they ended up deciding to stick with. So yeah, we'll see. February is, I don't know how, it's definitely not as crowded as this past year or the year before, but it still feels like it's always a crowded month around that January to March window for the first quarter. So this one could have a very hard time finding a land. It would not surprise me if very soon after launch or maybe directly at launch, they try to put this into PlayStation Plus or Xbox Game Pass. I definitely think it'll be on Ubisoft Plus day one. And I would not be surprised if they try to cut whatever deal they can to get this into some kind of streaming service as well. Okay, guys, last but not least, just a quick shout out to the fighting game community. For those that kind of like the older fighting games, Killer Instinct is celebrating its 10th anniversary, and it got a really, really big update. The Killer Instinct base game is now free to play on all platforms. Those platform, well, not every platform, I guess, but all the platforms is currently available. That is Xbox consoles, One and Series XS, Windows PC, and Steam. The free Killer Instinct base game will feature one free weekly rotating fighter and single player local and ranked modes. For those who want the full experience, the Killer Instinct Anniversary Edition, $29.99 US dollars, will include all 29 fighters, all premium content ever released, the VIP double XP booster, holiday accessories, and more. I don't see it on this article, but I believe this is going to be day one in Game Pass for both PC and console as well. That one coming out this week. So if you're a fighting game fan, Killer Instinct, nice little anniversary to celebrate. And again, now free to play if you want to try it out as well. John, yeah, yes.
I feel like we need to, when eventually we bring our Patreon back, we need to have a tier where our listeners can submit their voice so we can use AI to auto-generate our closing using the voice of our devout listeners and viewers.
That would be very interesting, actually, a little like crossover voice things. We could have them do the Gamer Bites thing. We could have them do the ending. We could plug them in here and there for the little ad spots.
TT spans.
Oh, my gosh. Hey, boomers.
Hey, boomers, you're listening to Level Up Live. Why?
Pop one like, pop two likes. Yeah, it would definitely be good times. With that being said, John, I think we're coming to the end of today's show. Ran a little bit longer than we were originally anticipating, but thankfully not a ton of coughing on my side. And a big thing to announce, again, we mentioned it last week or the week before, the Game Awards is next Thursday. That is December 7th, and John and I, and possibly some other people from OTN, will be co-streaming that night. So definitely tune in as well.
Yeah, Jeff Keighley was like, yeah, I haven't had enough torture from these guys. We'll go and let them co-stream again. Nation, that is going to do it for this week's edition of Level Up Live. But before you go, make sure you follow the show on Twitch. Catch the next episode of Level Up Live. If you listen to the show on our podcast feed, please do leave us a review if your podcatcher allows. The Level Up Podcast is available on Spotify, iTunes, and Google Play, and pretty much anywhere else you can find podcasts. Just look us up. We would love to hear from you. In fact, we'd love to hear from our community so much. There are multiple ways for you to reach out to us. Joey, what are some of those ways?
Absolutely. Level Up Nation, come check us out over on Twitter/X, whatever you want to call it nowadays, and Facebook at OTN Media, as well as on Instagram and Threads at OTN_media. Last but not least, hit us up with a follow, maybe even a juicy Twitch Prime sub over here on Twitch. Twitch.tv/OTN Media. This show typically Thursdays at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. A little bit of flexibility here and there. And again, next week is the co-stream of the Game Awards. Please stay tuned to our social media as we'll announce the time we'll be going live. We typically do a small post-show, or a pre-show rather, then go into the show with a post-show afterwards.
All right, so put it on your calendars. Tell your assistant, whether it's Google, whether it's Siri, whoever it is, to remind yourself December 7th on Thursday next week. Tune in to the OTN coverage of the Game Awards next week. Do your ears and eyes a favor. Hit that sub and follow button to know when the next episode is ready for your entertainment pleasures. We will catch you all next week. Enjoy your weekend. Remember, be nice to your fellow gamers online. And as always,
level up.